A blessing it is to be in Jesus Christ. It's a great day. It's one of my favorite times of year. September, fall is right here. Got football started. Hunting season's almost arrived. But it's still summer. Why is this is the place in the world where it's almost summer, summer, still summer, and Christmas? Can someone explain that to me? I heard somebody is headed to Canada very soon. I hear they're going to have 40-degree temperature weather. I'm struggling with the sin of jealousy and envy today. I go ahead and confess it right now. Bottle it and bring it back and let me breathe it in. But other than that, it's great to experience 100-degree weather with 98% humidity and enjoy the fellowship of this church family. It is good. It is good. We're going to talk about encouragement today. Encouragement, and this is the point of the lesson. These are words that just have to be said. Encouragement is so powerful. It is maybe one of the most powerful forces in all of our lives. Either it's there or it's not. We're empowered by it, or there's this deficit of encouragement that's in our lives. We all need it. Let me share a story with you this morning about encouragement. The day was May the 1st. 2009, it was the 135th running of the Kentucky Derby, and there was a small horse by the name of Mind That Bird. I know it's a weird name. Why would you call a horse a bird? I don't get it. But anyway, people that have horses have weird names for horses. Nonetheless, that was a horse's name, Mind That Bird, and he had entered the race at a 50-1 odds. Now, I don't know how much of you know much about gambling. Hopefully not much. Let's just say 50-1 is not good odds in your favor. It's a lot against you. Mind That Bird had not fared well in his previous two races, so it wasn't a surprise that this long shot horse really struggled right out of the gates. Mind That Bird and jockey Calvin Burrell, they got squeezed behind some other horses and they quickly dropped into last place. At the first quarter mile stage of the race, they were so far behind that the camera that was videoing them for the NBC sports couldn't even show. Mind That Bird wasn't even in the view, and the announcer Tom Durkin missed him completely. But at the 3/8 pole, Mind That Bird started gaining on the other horses. He passed a horse by the name of Atomic Rain, and it was like he had new breath and new life coming into him. And Calvin Burrell rode his horse as he was coming around the 8th pole in the race. He guided Mind That Bird down to the rail and got between the rail and another horse, and Mind That Bird took off. He finished the race and he won the 135th race of the Kentucky Derby. Mind That Bird won so big, he won by 6 3/4 horse lengths. Now, folks, in a race like that, which is neck and neck and nose, that's an enormous victory. No one could have seen that coming. Matter of fact, the owner of Mind That Bird didn't see that coming. He might have been the one that was most shocked. He said it wasn't even on our radar that we would win. Everybody was stunned. Everybody except one person was stunned. And his name was Calvin Burrell, the jockey. And they asked Calvin, "What did you do when you were so far behind?" And he said this, it's real simple, but it's extremely deep. He said, "I rode him like a good horse." Let me ask all of you a question today. What happened had Calvin, the jockey, Calvin Burrell, rode Mind That Bird like a bad horse? Well, obviously we know that he would have finished last. What could have happened? Now let's imagine for just a minute what could have happened in the mind of Calvin Burrell when he got so far behind. Think about what he could have been thinking while he was riding this horse, Mind That Bird. He could have been thinking something like this: I have been working all year for this, to be in front of thousands of people at the most famous race on the face of the earth. And this horse is humiliating me, not only in front of thousands, but millions on television. Are you kidding? This horse, you're nothing but, you're a sorry horse. You're not a racehorse, you're a draft horse. You ought to be pulling a potato plow somewhere up in Idaho. When we get done with this race, I'm going to turn you over to the Alpo Dog Food Company. I bet they couldn't even get 10 cans of good meat out of you because you're so full of it. I mean, let's just think about what O'Calvin could have been thinking as he was experiencing the emotion, or could have been experiencing the emotion of shame, humiliation, or embarrassment. Or let's put Calvin to the side for just a moment and let's imagine for a second what the horse might have been thinking. Good night, Calvin. Could you weigh any more? I mean, sorry for all, I have been told that I have been talking too much about weight in this church, but let's just go with it. Could you have gained a few more pounds? You're actually expecting me to run as fast as I could with all this extra weight that you're gaining? You've obviously got lead between your ears because you wasn't very intelligent when you forced me and steered me right into the rear of another horse. It's not my problem we're in last place, it's yours. You know, I think I'll just stop and enjoy some of that Kentucky bluegrass right there. Hey. Now think about that with me. How many of you, when the pressure is on, find it easier to criticize or encourage? What did jockey Calvin Burrell do? He encouraged. He rode mine that horse like a winner, and together they won. Even when all the odds were stacked against them, the jockey, listen to me, church, the jockey poured courage into the heart of his horse. So let me ask you all a question. If encouragement works with humans and animals, I know it's a long shot, could it work possibly with humans and humans? And even another question we might want to ask ourselves, and this may be the most important question for all of us in our lives: what's God's will for my language? To encourage or discourage? And I'm really glad y'all asked that question, because that's the one that we want to talk about today. Let me share a passage with you. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, as we consider the idea and the purposefulness and the blessings and benefits that come from being an encourager. Look what Scripture says. See to it, brothers, sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another. What does it say? Can y'all say that with me a little louder? It says daily. But encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Now, I want you to realize this. This is a basic understanding for all Christians. You and I are in a competition. It is a competition for life. It's a competition for eternal life. You and I have been very smart when we chose, as we have chosen Jesus to be our Lord. Because you and I have a sin problem and we have a death problem. Sin separates us from God, and it breaks and harms and maligns human relationships. Okay? So it separates us from God and it destroys. When you and I sin, we harm. This is another way of saying it. To sin is to be inhumane, okay? So we harm our relationship with God, and we harm our relationships with one another. We are in this competition, and we don't want anyone who is in Christ to be discouraged in their life, where they become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Another way to think about that might be the trickery of sin. For instance, you're having struggles in your life. And you learn somewhere along the way that I can medicate my mind, I can numb my mind to the pain of my struggles. And so I go and I pick up the bottle, because there's my solution to life right there. And so my life's not working, here's a temporary solution. And so I imbibe that, I drink it in, and so it kind of pacifies me. It's like an infant pacifier, but a lot more potent for harm. So you got your pacifier and it's in your mouth and you're consoled for a little bit. By the way, I have never found that any liquor or any substance or anything is a solution to any problem. It is not a solution. It magnifies the problem. So here's what happens. So we're down on life. We turn to this. And then because we're feeding our addictions, we use others. Others get in the way for us or of us. And so what do? We harm those relationships with other people. We push them away, which brings us to a situation of isolation. And then that inspires a lot of country songs about drinking and being alone and taking your ring to the pawn shop and all that kind of stuff. All right. You've heard all the songs. All right. And so then you're down on your luck. Everything's bad. And here's what you do. This is blows my mind when people do this. They get disappointed with God. I mean, somebody's got to be blamed here. It can't be me. It's got to be God. Okay, what you have experienced is the trickery of sin. Sin is deceitful. It moves you away from God in relationships with one another. The antidote to the deceitfulness of sin is the encouragement of brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. All right, so I'm not up here swinging a Louisville Slugger to whack you on the head. If you find yourself in a situation in which you feel the deceitfulness of sin, the hardness of sin, God wants to soften this. The antidote to the deceitfulness of sin is the encouragement of the church. And church, how often should we encourage? Don't you dare miss that. Church family, it is your responsibility every single day to pour encouragement into the lives of others. That is God's word. That is God's will. That is God's command. All right, and so that's what we're called to do. So the only way we can lose as Christians is through unbelief, by being tricked. All struggles in life can pull us down and away from the winning team, and so encouragement is that solution. We're called to be an encouraging church. All right, a lot of people today come to church. I'm not saying this church, but a lot of people go to church because of what they can receive, what they can get. In other words, we come to consume. And if I don't get it the way that I want it, what do? I'm gone. Right. Okay. We come to church, if I'm reading the Bible correctly, we come to give. We give worship to God, love to God, and we give love to one another. And we call that encouragement. So when we come together as a church family, we're called to love God in worship and love one another. And the way we do that is through encouraging each other. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 10:23 says this, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess." Okay? So we're not out on this, you know, just curvy country road. I mean, we're hanging in. We are we can go fast and we can go far. Because we're not swerving to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. So we're in a drag race with God driving. I'm loving this. And let us consider how we may spur one another. I had to use this passage because we used a horse illustration to begin with. I love it. And let us consider how we can spur one another on toward what? Love and good deeds. All right, there's the let us. Here's a let us not. Let us not give up what? Meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing. Bad habits bring about bad results. And you're going to be discouraged unless you're with the family, the church family. And that's the source of encouragement, God and others. All right, let's not give up meeting together. Some are in the habit of doing. And he gently says this, let us encourage one another and what? All the more. All right, so here we go. So not only are we called to encourage each other, but on an upward trajectory, all the more. So guess what God's will is for us as Christians? To encourage each other so that we are not hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We don't want anyone to win. The church is God's special units, special forces. Are you following me? Berets, Rangers, SEALs, are you following me? We are God's special forces upon this earth. One of our greatest weapons as God's special forces is encouragement. Encouragement is amazingly powerful. All right, and that's why Paul, you'll see this throughout Scripture. Just read your Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So think of encouragement, Paul says, as a construction project. Okay. So Paul is saying, you are not called by God to be a crowbar. Can I get an amen? You are not called by God to be a sledgehammer. Can I get an amen? You are not called by God to be a bulldozer. Amen? All right. I looked in the Bible, and I didn't find anything about criticizing. I mean, a command where God says, here's what I call you to do. Criticizing, discouraging, griping, complaining, or nagging, or whining, or a few others. I looked, and guess what? It ain't in there. What is your natural default move when things don't go your way? Criticize or encourage? Who really knows the word? Who really is known by the word? That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to be. Not crowbar, sledgehammers, bulldozers, wrecking balls. Self-appointed wrecking balls. That's not what we're called to do. God always calls us to build each other up. If you've got a problem, it's not that churches don't have problems. Can I get an amen on that one? All right. If you have a problem, solve it. A solution without attacking a person. All right. That's really important. You will go far in life if you can do these things. If there's a problem, find a solution. Don't attack the person. All right? All right, so here's what we want to do. We're going to ask three questions in just a minute, in just a few minutes. Here's what we're going to do. Here's the three questions we want to ask ourselves. What is encouragement? Why encourage? And how can we encourage? Number one, what's encouragement? I love this. The prefix in means to put into. And the word cor, C-O-R, is a Latin word which means heart. And so when you encourage someone, you are putting courage into their heart. All right, supplying courage. So what is encouragement? It is supplying courage to the heart of another. Think about the word encapsule. You know, it's something into a capsule, a pill, encapsulate, encapsule. All right, and so we're called to encourage others, to pour courage into the heart of others. Listen, Proverbs 12:25 says this, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Isn't that so true? An anxious heart weighs a man down. Now think about it. Now sometimes we're anxious about things that we ought not be anxious about. Some things that discourage us, we have chosen the wrong things to upset us. We get anxious, and we need a kind word from others, not a slap on the head. We need a pat on the back, and we can continue on. Supplying courage to the heart of another. Number two, why encourage? Because supporting one another is every Christian's duty. You know, and I looked in God's Word, and there's a passage in 1 Thessalonians I want to refer to for just a minute. Paul needed it. You look at some of the amazing faith of people in Scripture, and they all needed encouragement. Paul needed it. He, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, he had planted the church in Thessalonica, and he was pulled away, and he was in Athens, and he was freaking out. Now, some of us freak out, obviously, about the wrong things. Let me tell you what Paul's freaking out about. He is concerned that they're not staying true and faithful, that their faith, hope, and love might be on a downward trajectory rather than an upward trajectory. And so he sends his servant Timothy to go there and to encourage that church. Timothy comes back to Paul in Athens. Paul writes this letter, 1 Thessalonians, and sends it back. And look what he says in chapter 3, verse 6. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought us good news about your faith and love. He's told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecutions, we are encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live since you're standing firm in the Lord. All right, do you see that? So Paul needed encouragement. Do you remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? When that decision about to do or to not do the cross was so strong upon his mind that his sweat became as drops of blood. And Luke tells us in Luke 22, he says, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And this is what God's word says. And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And he went through. Everyone needs encouragement. Paul needs encouragement. If Jesus needs encouragement, we all need encouragement. All right. Everybody. Encouragement gives us grit. Life is like being on an ice-capped road, and our wheels are spinning. We're kind of going, and then you find the place where the highway workers have come, and they've dumped out sand. And sand is that grit, and that grit gives us traction, where we're not spinning our wheels. Encouragement is that grit that we all need in our lives. All right. So, how can we encourage? By sharing beneficial words, deeds, and our presence, not presence like packages, but presence like being near others. One of the ways I thought to maybe illustrate how not to encourage is yelling, nagging, demanding, criticizing, and name calling. That's how not to encourage. I love this story. It's written by a guy named Mike Howerton, and it's in the book called Glorious Mess. It came out in 2012. And in this book, Mike tells a story of when he was in high school and playing football and how his coaches would talk to the team. And this is what he says. He said, there were a couple of different motivational methods that our coaches used, Coach Crow's method and Coach Rush's message. And when his team was losing, Mike says, when our team was losing at halftime, the two coaches would give two very different pep talks. Listen to what he says. Coach Crow would come in growling, spitting disdain in his words at us. What a bunch of losers. What do y'all say? Let's get your girlfriends all suited up. They'd do a better job. Your flimsy arm tackles make me want to puke. I'm going to go look for some diapers for you babies to wear in the second half. Maybe you won't embarrass yourself so bad. He'd leave and absolute silence would descend, virtually no sound except for the muffled sobs of Monty, who was our team's kicker over in the corner. Then our defensive head coach, Coach Rush, would come in. He'd look each of us in his eyes with his steely glint. And when he began to speak, you could feel strength flowing into his limbs. And he would begin with something like this measured, masculine, building in intensity speech. And this is what he would say. I don't see high school students. I see lions. This locker room is filled with lions. And a bunch of lions is called a pride. And a pride of lions hunts together. And a pride of lions kills together. Lions are majestic to behold. Lions are the king of the land. And this is your land. You are the pride here. But one thing I haven't heard tonight. I haven't heard you roar. And lions roar. He said, and everyone in this two-bit town is going to hear you roar because lions, you're lions, and lions roar. And everyone in the locker room would erupt with ear-splitting noise. Even Monty the kicker got fired up over in the corner. We're lions, and lions roar. When Coach Rush died unexpectedly a few years later, there was a major movement to name the stadium after the defensive coach, Coach Rush. Coach Crow's name never even came up in the discussion. How can we encourage church family as we think about this real quickly? It's really unlimited. The place you ought to start is figure out what encourages you. What words, deeds, and presence. Who are the people that come into your life that just fire you up or encourage you? When you see them, it makes you have a smile in your heart and on your face. Think about what encourages you and then start there. Start with that. And from there, it's unlimited the things that you and I can do. But it's by words and deeds and our presence. Think about calls, cards, gifts, compliments, help, your presence. Everybody has a bad day. Amen, church family? Everybody has a bad day. But with encouragement, a bad day doesn't become a bad life. Amen? Encouragement. The words that just have to be said. If we can encourage you, we want to invite you forward while together.